In the meantime, our other, one of our other favorite bloggers is Sister Tolgin. And indeed, we're honored to have you on the show with us this morning, Sister.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Great. Hey, I really love the post that's on Sister Tolgin this morning, and that is the debunking the myth of the underprivileged soldier.
Yeah, I was really glad to read that. I actually had a reader send me that link. And it's something that I think most of us who follow the military, who have friends in the military and whatnot, we've known for quite some time. But this, to me, sort of makes it official. I hope Charlie Rangel and the other people who like to claim that our media or our military is made up of nothing but poor people who have no education, who are obviously too stupid, quote-unquote, to choose another path in life, will read this. Even if they did, though, I doubt that they would change their minds.
Well, in fact, Sister, yeah, this is the story is by some individuals from the Heritage Foundation who decided they'd go ahead and actually look at the numbers, unlike most people apparently in the media and some congressmen have done. And they referred to a New York Times column by Bob Herbert, who writes that very few of the soldiers fighting in Iraq are coming from the privileged economic classes. And in fact, they looked at the numbers and found that that absolutely is positively dead wrong. According to a comprehensive study of all the enlistees from the years 1998 to 99 and 2003, the typical recruit in the all-volunteer force, by the way, is wealthier, more educated, and more rural than the average 18 to 24-year-old citizen is. Indeed, for every two recruits coming from the poorest neighborhoods, there are three recruits coming from the richest neighborhoods.
Exactly.
That's pretty amazing
the,
stuff.
The enlistment rate for those particular demographics has actually risen since 9/11.
Wow.
If you read into the into it, it says since 2001, enlistments have increased in the top two-fifths of income levels, but have decreased among the lowest fifth.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And also, the allegations that recruiters are disproportionately targeting blacks also don't hold water. First, whites make up 77.4% of the nation's population and 75.8% of its military volunteers.
Yep, exactly right.
Wow.
That's good stuff. What do you guys think, Sister Smash here, as Jamie there, as you know, but, you know, here in Missouri, the National Guard, they're starting to give a National Guard guy, if he gets a recruit to join the National Guard, he gets $2,000. Are you looking at that as all right? Are you looking at that as it's kind of bribery? How's that all play, you know?
Well, I don't really look at it as bribery. I mean, you've got to recruit people.
Right.
You know, the military has been offering incentives for people to join up for years. I don't see this as any different. They're just offering an incentive to the person doing the recruiting.
Yeah, it's the individualism.
I mean, we've got to have people in our military, even though San Francisco, you know, doesn't want that. Everybody else realizes that we have to have a military. So.
Yeah. Now, I want to make sure we're talking to Sister Tolgin from SisterTolgin.com, and Tolgin being T-O-L-D-J-A-H. And you also posted, by the way, Sister, the Joe Lieberman article in the Wall Street Journal this morning, in fact.
Yes.
And that's awesome to see somebody from the Democratic ranks, although it hasn't been unusual to see Joe Lieberman doing it, providing some sense of reason to this pullout strategy that some of the Democrats are suggesting.
He's been consistent all the way. He's one of the very few Democrats that you can count on to tell it like it is about the war. There won't be any spin, you know, behind it. He supported it from the beginning. He's still behind it. He's not trying to back out, advocate any cut-and-run strategy. He realizes, obviously, how important it is for us to win this war. He also realizes how important support is to winning this war. As you have discussed on your show this morning, the more dissent, and I don't say dissent, reasonable dissent is one thing, unreasonable is another, and the type of criticisms that have been leveled towards the president, who is the commander-in-chief of the military, who are fighting a war in Iraq, that a criticism of the president in a time of war, the type of criticism that we're seeing, hurts troop morale. I mean, duh, it's the truth, and I think Lieberman even realizes that. We all have to be on the same page with this war. That doesn't mean you can't criticize a post-war plan. That doesn't mean we don't need to look into, you know, what happened with the intelligence that led up to this war. But these Democrats who are coming out now and saying they were lied to or misled are full of it. I mean, just, you know, point blank, they're full of it because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, when Clinton was president, you know, they were admitting that Saddam Hussein was a threat who had to be dealt with. And now they're backtracking, and it really does undermine the war. You can't tell me, you know, I've had more Democrats tell me, well, criticism is American. You know, it's patriotic to criticize.
How do you feel about Ramsey Clark being Saddam's defense attorney? Is that undermining and also challenging troop morale?
No, I don't think so because it's pretty typical for him. He doesn't really represent anybody with any character. I think he represents the lowest of the low. This isn't the first unsavory character that he's represented, so it doesn't really surprise me that he's doing this. It's pretty typical.
Nobody listened to him before.
No.
Nobody's going to listen to him now.
Right. No,
you know, it's interesting you point out these poll numbers regarding morale, and, you know, this is not just somebody's, this is not just the opinion of people who are on talk radio. These are opinions by the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, which is cited a lot by people who are the liberal and in some cases moonbat persuasion who use the Pew Research Center, so they can't deny this particular poll, which shows that the general public is considerably more optimistic about Iraq than just about any group of opinion leaders.
Yes.
So if you look at the news media by a rank of 63% to 33% think the war is a failure.
Mm-hmm.
The foreign affairs people, I don't know who those individuals are, who they're polling, 71% to 28%. But the general public believes 56% to 37% that the war is going to be a success.
Right. 56%
to 37%.
The media kind of keeps itself in its own little bubble. The media is not pro-war. I had a guy come to my blog yesterday and try to tap dance and do some fancy footwork to convince me that they were, but they're not pro-war. They haven't been pro-war probably since World War II. The media, they don't want the war to go well, and so those numbers that you quoted to me, the 63% figure, kind of reflect that. They have never believed in this war, and they've never believed that this president could carry out a winning war.
Yeah.
Because they don't like him, obviously, and those numbers reflect their personal view, not just of the war, but of the person who is the commander-in-chief, who is obviously commanding the troops in that war.
Well, it's interesting, Sister Tolgia, in Joe Lieberman's piece that you have posted on SisterTolgia.com, he makes the point that, listen, America can't abandon 27 million Iraqis to 10,000 terrorists. It is a war between 27 million and 10,000. 27 million Iraqis who want to live lives of freedom, opportunity, and prosperity, and roughly 10,000 terrorists who are either Saddam revanchists, Iraqi Islamic extremists, or Al-Qaeda foreign fighters who know their wretched causes will be set back if Iraq becomes free and modern. And I have to tell you that, in my opinion, among many of these lefties, I think their wretched causes will be set back if Iraq becomes free and modern. And that's why they're attacking this particular effort right now, because they do not want this thing to succeed. I know that in many cases, many of them do want it to succeed,
sure,
and do care about the troops, but behind all of this, I believe, is politics. Behind all this is the 2006 and 2008 elections, and they don't give a rip what happens over there.
They want it to succeed, quote-unquote succeed, on their watch, under their terms, under their hand.
Absolutely. I mean, when Bill Clinton wanted Saddam Hussein removed, everybody loved him,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
All right, and even
that's
when
a great
he bombed
point.
Him.
That's a great point you make, Jamie. This is all about politics. I have blogged about this issue extensively, about how there are so many liars in Congress right now on the Democratic side who are switching their tune on this war, and they are not only undermining it with their unfair, I think, attacks on the president, but they are questioning the entire reason that our troops were sent there to begin with. And they know that, you know, just about everyone on the planet believed Saddam was armed to the teeth with WMD. He does have ties to terrorists. They know all these things about him were true. They knew it then, but they don't know it now. And it's all about politics. We've got the elections coming up in about a year. But this is probably to me one of the most shameful moments for the Democratic Party to be doing this. And Joe Lieberman is the only sane voice sitting in Congress right now on the Democratic side who gets the big picture, because our guys are over there fighting. And on the other hand, these people who, quote, claim to support the troops, unquote, are undermining the very reasons that they're there to begin with. They're essentially telling them they're there for no reason, that their fellow soldiers have died for a lie. You know, I mean, how much more undermining can you get?
Yeah. Well, Sister Tolgi, thanks a lot for telling us. All right. SisterTolgi.com. Appreciate you joining us here at Allman and Smash in the morning. You take care.
Thanks for having me on. And, Jamie, hey, I love your passion. Don't let that guy get you down.
Oh, hey, no. thank you very much. That's sweet of you to say. Let me tell you. Listen, this plus on SisterTolgi.com, there's a link that that shows our picture smash and our uniform and our little costumes. And she says that they made me believe in Santa again. So we're glad we could help, Sister Tolgi.
You help, especially Smash, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
You're rocking that costume, Matt. That's a hell of a costume.
Come on, sit on my lap.
All right.
Let me know what you want for Christmas, baby.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you very much. Sister Tolgi from SisterTolgi.com. Yeah.